Welcome to What's Glup, a podcast about playing favorites. I'm Katrina Dennis, and I'll be your host as we interview passionate fans every week and celebrate their favorite characters from a galaxy far away. Who knows? Maybe we'll learn a little bit along the way. Our podcast's focus is on celebrating fans and the little guys that make them happy. And this week's little guy is none other than Newt Gunray. And joining me to discuss this iconic prequel baddie is none other than resident Newt Gunray expert, Molly G. Hi, Molly.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. You know what? When I was thinking about the show, I remember putting Newt purposefully in the advertising material and like the press kit that I like gave to Geeky Waffle because I wanted someone to come on and talk about him. So like, thank you for being on this show.
Of course. I love any opportunity to talk about my man, Newt.
Tell us a little bit about yourself really quick before we go straight into the character. What do you like about Star Wars? When did you get into Star Wars? And yeah, what's your vibe?
Sure. Okay. So a lot of people know me probably from Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. I've been there since 2019. I fell down the Tumblr to Discord to Twitter pipeline, but I actually have been a member of fandom since I was, I think it was between Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. I was but a wee girl who lied about her age to get onto the Star Wars forum discussion board. And I think what happened was my dad just bought the re-release of the original trilogy on DVD and made us sit down and watch it. And even though this man could not tell you more than maybe like two characters' names, he butchers, I think, every single character's name. I don't even know if he would know who Newt Gunray is. He probably knows Anakin's name and that's about it. But he made us watch him. And unlike my brother, I absolutely fell in love. So I was so excited with the sequel trilogy to jump back into fandom because I fell off after Revenge of the Sith. But obviously, I feel like I grew up with so that's probably why all of my favorite characters, for the most part, come from the prequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. This is a very prequel positive podcast because I am also definitely like prequel baby. So that's why I'm super excited to talk about this character today. This was actually one of the first like faces we saw on screen in the prequels. I remember when the story started out and we went to see Newt and all of his boys with big hats. Like, I was confused because I was like, who are these? These are brand new aliens to me, blah, blah, blah. When was the first time you saw this character? And what do you remember about the experience?
I desperately wish that I could recall my experience seeing The Phantom Menace. I know that I went in theaters, but I don't remember much. I just remember being utterly bored because when I was that young, I was a princess girl and all I wanted was to watch Princess Barbie. Like Padme just wasn't going to cut it for me. Mm-hmm. And I think I was just bored out of my mind. So it had to have been when I was, I always forget like the exact age, probably like 13 or 14 when I was watching the prequels again after being the original trilogy for the first time, which one would think that I would have watched that before seeing any of the movies in theaters, but no, I obviously with each new trilogy, we dive back into the saga again. And I guess I just reached an age where I was very into shit posting and my best memories come from rewatching the prequels again before Force Awakens with my friends and just losing my mind because of how ridiculous it's just so much fun to watch them with adult Star Wars fans after like people, and especially if you're with people who haven't seen them before and everyone already knows who Jar is, but I would say Newt Gunray is, he's pretty memorable as far as distinctive characters from all three films, I would say.
He played such a huge role in that opening sequence, too. I think it's hard to forget exactly how much trouble he was causing at the time. So that that was great to have like an immediate like wacky villain in a way on screen.
It's important to note he is a villain and he is often overshadowed by the other villain. But if you get rid of all of the mysticism and Sith Jedi everything, really the true villain is capitalism.
Yes. Absolutely.
If that's what George is trying to teach us, he is just as much a villain.
Yeah. I remember when we were texting before the show and I gave you guys a heart attack because I was like, I'll be there incoming. And it was for a doc and not for the start of the show. But I remember I had asked you if you wanted to talk a little bit about the political aspects of Newt's creation, because I'm pretty sure I can't say, I don't know if George himself has said this is obviously a parallel to another Newt.
Yeah, I don't remember if, so I do know a lot, because I feel like when you really go hard for a character, it's your due diligence to look at what little information there is for the background of this character. And I don't know if he 100% confirmed it's Newt Gingrich, if it's Ronald Reagan, or if it's a combination of both. I like the idea that Newt is just a lazy, different way to spell Newt for Newt Gingrich, and that Gun Ray is just, so I know people think Reagan, Ray Gun, and then look at Gun Ray. I don't know. Star Wars is so cheesy, especially the prequels. I'm pretty sure that George was being extremely obvious and didn't care and went over our heads as kids, but as an adult, I love it. I think it's so cheesy. I love that.
I love the duality of that, because on one side, it's on one's face of it, it's oh, this is a parallel to Ronald Reagan. And then on the other side of it, it's he really made a space character and made his last name Reagan.
And we were also talking about this before we started recording, but I definitely was playing on the Ray part of the last name too, on Twitter. I was just who's to say that anyone can come back in Star Wars? Why not him? I put that on my bingo card, but obviously we were all very let down to see he didn't come back as any connection to Rey, that she wasn't Rey Gun Rey.
Rey Gun Rey. Oh, I love it. It sounds like the best 1970s poorly animated cartoon hero name. Just amazing.
Gun Rey, I love that. Yeah.
Rey in the 24th and a half century. I love it. So I know we talked a little bit about fan creations and stuff. Can you talk about fan creations you've seen around Newt or creations you've made?
I am probably one of the biggest offenders of Newt Gunray fan art. Not anything rude. I started doing digital illustration, teaching myself how to draw when I was actually seeing a lot of Reylo fan art, and I'm a crafter, so I was very much I can't really afford to keep buying all this art, so I may as well just learn how to do it myself. Right. And for some reason, that led me to, I'm going to start learning how to draw people. Let's just start drawing Newt Gunray. I don't really know what led me to that, but my whole thing, and I should have mentioned this when I was introducing myself, but one of the biggest passions I have in Star Wars is creating a space for women and the female gaze, just making a kind of giving a girly lens and option to fans, because I feel like we're really lacking a lot of pretty things sometimes, especially in merchandise. And so that is probably why I went all in on this little guy I kept drawing who is cute Gun Ray. And I just made him very big, cutie eyes, and people used to use them as reaction pictures all the time. I did this constantly to the point where I was I need to start drawing other things. But I have, if you've been to Celebration and met me, you've probably received a cute Gun Ray sticker from me or a pin. And I dressed up last year as Hugh Gunnery also. I had like a big crown and just like a brick red dress because I was like, no one else has done it. And of course, then I go to Celebration and I saw the two most amazing Newt Gunray and Rune Paco. I never know how to pronounce it, but I met them at Celebration London and it's like, I got a picture with them and they didn't even speak English. I think they were speaking French and they couldn't take my cute Gunray pins because they had prosthetics like on their hands and had just towards their pockets say like we have no pockets in French and I felt terrible, but it's like the best picture I have. So it was my first time seeing him cosplayed and he like looked, there's a couple pictures that I should post again from Celebration Anaheim just as him, but I've seen some pretty great NSFW fan art. I've seen great edits. There's another Twitter account who goes hard for Newt Gunray called Nude Gunray. And he basically just made him bald. And
amazing.
That's his persona. And yeah, I like that the fan art of Newt Gunray is almost always shit posting. It's always silly stuff. There's a bunch of us out there who really want like sexy and ridiculous drawings of these insignificant characters. It's like everyone else forgets about them, but we're the ones that went like body pillows. So yes, that's next on my list to make is the Newt Gunray body pillow. I just haven't done it yet, but it'll happen.
My God. Yes. I think a massive like limited edition production line of one of a kind Newt Gunray.
Oh yeah. No, I just got to pick the like sexy pose for him.
I love it. That's perfect. I think that kind of like lends to the next question I'd love to ask. Do you ship this character with anyone romantically or platonically?
He's with Rune. Like, who else would he be with? They're always together. I made a wedding one of the first times I drew them together and I made like a, what actually, I think I have to find it and I'll tweet it again. And I think it's like them just together. Just say like you're invited to the Raylo wedding or something. Something dumb. It was like and I have a drawing of the two of them like side by side, just saying like these. I think it's like these. No, I'm misremembering. I sound like a dummy. It's like these negotiations are perfectly legal. I need to find it. There's a lot of fan art that I have purposely not brought back to the surface from 2019 for everyone to see again. But maybe it's time to bring this one back along with sexy Watto and all the other
lifetime. I feel like it's what we need. Maybe we didn't.
I know.
Like we, especially after these past few years, bring back sexy Watto, please.
Oh, of course. Oh, always. No, this just us talking about Newt in general, actually, it really makes me actually want to start drawing those silly little drawings again, because I started being a lot more serious in what I was drawing as far as Star Wars. I was just making like less funny artwork, but like this is how I got my start with Newt. And I feel like I need to start doing that more again. But obviously Rune it's his number one guy. They belong together. They're in like half of the five or six pictures that people use as reactions. Obviously, who else would he be with?
Yep.
Watt Tambor, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe. No, I feel like they have that immediate like pairing vibe. Like they're bosom buddies. We know.
I agree.
It's perfect. It's a perfect match. What do you find most interesting or compelling about Newt Gunray?
I love that he's essentially, so yeah, he's a viceroy, but he's basically like, what if UPS was evil? Like even more evil. What if and not just that, what if UPS, FedEx, DHL, what if they're all running everything and have their own army? Mm-hmm. I love that's essentially what the Trade Federation is. Why does a shipping company have this much power? Of course, all of us English lit / history nerds know all about the East India and Dutch trading companies. Not to get super boring, but I did a huge focus of my English degree was in post-colonial literature. I did a lot with the East India Trading Company, a little bit with Dutch, who are equally as evil. But all of that, this is basically, it's very much like a post-colonial conglomerate. George is very like, he's giving you exactly what it is right in front of you. And it doesn't take much digging to know what the political implications are and what he was going for. And I think it often gets overlooked because of, you know, the comparison with the original trilogy and the prequels, what's going on in the world at that time. And he's also using things from like 1700s, 1800s. And I don't want to start rambling. It's just, I do love that aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to me. And we never really talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that that was like one of the reasons I was so excited for you to come on and talk about this character. Is like, there are a lot of layers to Star Wars, of course. But when you get past the feelings and the space pew-pews, it is a political commentary. Like, that's what George's original intention was. And that's the intention that he did his best to drive home, especially in the prequels. Like, the concept of get prequels out or get politics out of my Star Wars is so silly because it's like, it's that's how it starts, is through politics. Like, do you not remember Leia on the Tantive IV, like, confronting Vader because of politics?
It's always been political. It is a fairy tale. And it does have all of this, like, gorgeous, like, sci-fi elements. But yeah, of course, it's so political that, honestly, I think people forget the prequels, huge but that there are too many politics for people to understand. And I think that's a big reason why they, you just see the word Grand Federation and you don't think much of it. But it's another element of evil that he's thrown in that is not forgotten history. I think colonialism is, it's always like, it always should be talked about. It's still ongoing. And yeah, I don't even know where I started with that rant. Not rant, but that tirade. But definitely, I think that's probably the most fascinating part of it. Like, why this one character just, he held so much power too. And like, oh my gosh, I could talk about that for hours. Like, how there's just so many shadowy figures. And he's one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're reminded every once in a while in like books and comics that like, hey, there's a whole like board of evil that like Palpatine is moving the chess pieces for. And so often that's when Nuke comes up again. So that's definitely like one of the most compelling things to me about his character. I would be remiss not to mention the fact that despite all of these political intentions toward Nuke's character and the Trade Federations, there are some things that are less great about how the character was positioned, I think, aesthetically. We talked about this a little bit earlier before the show with producer Candace. And Candace, you're welcome to hop on in if you'd like to join this discussion. Nuut is a caricature in many ways of the Asian people and Asian American people. And it sucks because Star Wars, that initial first set of movies was about the Vietnam War and George's opposition to it. And so to see him like a few decades later come and create characters that are caricatures of like East Asian people and Jewish people, it was just like, it didn't dawn on me at the time, but like now it's like, oh man, like nobody's nerfed, huh?
No, nobody's nerfed. Yeah, it's definitely something that I try very hard to, it's definitely something that I don't shy away from talking about either. I, of course, none of us know what really went into the discussions about how a lot of these caricatures came about, or did anyone speak up at the time. I believe from what little I know, because there's really actually not a lot of commentary from anybody who was working on Nuut Gunray's costume, makeup. Of course, the actor, I talk about him ad nauseum, Silas Carson, fantastic. Also portrays Ki-Adi Mundi. He's amazing, but there isn't really much online about where the inspiration for the voice came from. My limited knowledge is that it was, I believe, him speaking with a Thai accent, or he had heard a Thai actor reading the lines and was imitating that. I don't know whose decision it was, but I think that's definitely something that we are all aware of. And if we're not, we need to be aware that he is very much a caricature and not a very nice one at that.
And flagging these things has led to like notable change in Star Wars and how aliens specifically are portrayed. The act of like othering people of other races in Star Wars it dates back way too far for me to be comfortable with. So it's always good to just spotlight this kind of stuff and say like, this wasn't right about that. So yeah. So in your opinion, why is Newt Gunray an important character in the Star Wars universe?
He's important because, of course, he's a villain, and that is, we need our villains in Star Wars. Also, if you really think about it, we certainly would not have the Skywalker saga without him, in my opinion, because if he wasn't on Naboo and Padme hadn't left, she wouldn't have ended up on Tatooine. And sure, you could argue that many plot lines could be looked at the same way. Or is it really on Qui-Gon for not negotiating those trade routes? Who's to say? But he's definitely there to further the plot along, especially in Phantom Menace. And his role is lessened a bit as we go through the prequel. But he's also, I guess, he's just, we really do need him and his army for everything happening, especially with the Clone Wars are what the Trade Federation's profiting off of. They're the fun little ragtag band of wealthy terrorists attacking everybody and willing to let everybody die. And if you don't have them, then the Sith are just there hanging out and nothing's really going on.
So one of the things that I want to get into is one of my favorite things about Newt, and it's the fact that he absolutely hates and has a grudge against Padme Amidala. Can you talk about the Newt and Padme dynamic?
As we were joking about, it's just hilarious that he gets bested by this 14-year-old girl, and he's just got all of this firepower behind him. And who can forget, like, the scene back on Naboo? And now, see it. And now I just need to go rewatch it for the millionth time. I'm just picturing her with just like pointing the, not handgun, but like.
Oh, yeah, the blaster.
Yeah. Thank you. Why am I blanking on that? all I'm picturing is that fun little chair with the spider legs he has. But,
oh, yeah.
But yeah, they don't really interact that much, but that's the bane of his existence. I love that everything's just focused on this one planet and that she's able to escape and all. He just wants her to sign this document and she won't do it.
Galaxy far away with futuristic technology and Newt can't use DocuSign.
Oh, arguably, she's just of a different generation and she won't do it. But read the instructions, she won't do it. Runs away. Stubborn little, barely a teenager, but he gets completely foiled by her and little Anakin.
Yeah, it is pretty embarrassing. I too would be vengeful in a way. So before we wrap up, do you have any other club shittos from the Star Wars fandom?
Oh man, I feel like, yeah, of course. I was thinking about that earlier, and the downside of, it's not really a downside, because then you get merchandise made of your favorite characters. Sometimes these characters become even more popular and they become less of a glup shitto. Although in the context of like looking outside of Star Wars fandom, people don't actually know who these characters are still. So doesn't really matter. No, I do want other people to enjoy these characters. Dex, I'm a huge Dex fan. I love Dex. I used to be very much a Zuckuss girl, very into pretty much all of the other bounty hunters. Although I tried with Watt Tambor. I feel like I could just continuously pluck out prequel characters mostly, and have at it. And I, what I love about Beef Club Shinnok though is that they honestly do inspire a lot of the art that I do there. My most favorite thing I've ever done were the creatures from the Geonosian battle arena, and drawing them was so incredibly difficult, but I love them. I know as much about like the Acklet as you possibly could. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like all of the little characters are, all the weird little guys are, I still don't know, that from Ahsoka, the little vest wearing snail guy.
Oh,
I was so excited. Oh, duh, Babu. And like, love, just, I could go on and on about these. The more ridiculous, the better. If they've got like a weird little voice, all in.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Solo, I love you. Come back. But also, would love to see weird little guys come back too.
Yeah.
More of those in.
I love Star Wars for its abundance of weird little guys and the guarantee that we will continue to get more weird little guys for as long as we have new Star Wars. So, yeah, I fully agree with that. Thank you so much for joining us today, Molly. It's been a wonderful time talking about New Gunray with you. Can you tell the audience a little bit about where to find you and all your weird little guy drawings?
Oh, yes. I speak very loudly, but if you can't hear all of the talking I do in general all across the world, you can find me on Twitter/X at Darth Molly, spelled M-A-U-L-I-E, and on Instagram at Darth_Molly, spelled the same way.
And I have been your host, Katrina Dennis, a.k.a. Oh Katrina, everywhere, all over the internet. Join us again for more glup-shadowing on What's Glup. The next episode will come out soon, and we're very excited to see more glups every day, all the time. May the Force be with you guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.